This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu, 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 Allahu.
Welcome to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth. Your place to reflect. Today we're going to be considering sincerity, sincere acts for our faith and in our lives. Joining me today to enlighten us is Sheikh Omar Soleiman. Sheikh Omar began his journey to knowledge in 2000 in the United Arab Emirates, where he studied at the feet of prestigious scholars such as Sheikh Tariq Ibn Raja. Sheikh Omar has a bachelor's degree in Islamic studies, a master's degree in Islamic finance, and is currently pursuing a PhD in Islamic studies. He previously served as an imam in New Orleans for 6 years and has since dedicated himself to full-time teaching. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum. Sincerity is the pursuit of doing actions with deeper meanings. It is not the outward, it is the inward. Is that a beginner's guide to what is known in Arabic as ikhlas? Can we perhaps ask you to introduce us to the linguistic meaning and take it from there?
Sure. So ikhlas is ikhlas means to purify, actually. So to purify everything, you know, to purify your intention from anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's to completely remove anything from your intention other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the greatest pursuit that a person has in life, because the purpose of life is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it starts off with a person purifying their intention from anything but that purpose, realizing that purpose.
Realizing the purpose, the reason that they're doing something. How do we put that into action? For example, if we're talking about sincerity in our dua, in our appeals to Allah.
So sincerity, and you know, comes in two senses here, right? There's sincerity in that something is being done meaningfully, right? It's sincere. It's not superficial. It's deep. It's heartfelt, and that's one form of sincerity. The other form of sincerity, which is usually alluded to, is you know, for example, not doing things with ulterior motives. So to pursue something that's worldly, or the praise of other people. So in the sense of du'a, sincerity in du'a means that you are calling upon Allah for Allah, that you're calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, seeking His forgiveness, not because someone is watching you, so removing the component of other people being aware of that du'a. It's a private conversation between you and Allah. And having a private conversation with Allah necessitates that you believe that He's listening to you, that you believe in His existence, that you believe in His ability to help you, to hear you and to help you, that you realize that He's always capable of helping you, and He's always willing of responding to you. And so a sincere du'a to Allah is one that is between you and Him, one that that is heartfelt, one in which you try to remove distraction as you call upon Him, and one in which you believe in His capability and willingness to help you and to respond to your du'a, and your knowledge that Allah never allows a du'a to go to waste. And that's something that's very important here, is that it's not sincere if you condition your du'a with, you know, Allah having to answer it the way you want it to be answered.
Can you put that into a practical sense? So how would you say that? How would you not make a sincere du'a? Well, give us an example of the wording, please.
Sure. So, for example, you know, if someone wants to marry somebody in particular, right, and we have what's known in our religion as du'a al-istikhara, which is a prayer in which we seek guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And essentially, the essence of that prayer is that if it's good for me, then take it away from me, and if it's bad for me, I'm sorry, if it's good for me, then make it happen, facilitate it, and if it's bad for me, then remove it from me, right? And so if a person is making du'a to Allah to marry a particular person, which is fine, right? But that doesn't happen. And a person says that my du'a was not responded to, that my du'a didn't count. Why didn't Allah give me this particular person? Well, when you're making du'a to Allah, you are acknowledging His knowledge over all things and His power over all things. You're not making a demand. You're consulting. You're making a request based on what your limited knowledge shows you and your limited experience shows you. And you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate what appears to be good for you. But you're also asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same breath that if it's not good for me, take it away from me. So to ask Allah for something very specific and then to expect a specific answer and then question Allah when you don't get that specific answer shows that you actually have a misunderstanding of Allah in the first place.
And it's also a bit of a sign, isn't it, that we may not be on the right path.
Exactly. I always tell people that, you know, the most irresponsible thing that you could do with a drug addict is to keep feeding their addiction as opposed to breaking it. And you know, to think that that's actually helping that person. Likewise, why would Allah feed your dunya addiction? Allah finds that you're addicted to dunya. And that your iman is conditioned to where it's only there if there is dunya, prosperity in the dunya sense, then the priority is to break that addiction to dunya. And so sincerity really is that you call upon Allah trusting Him in that sense. So you call upon Him for Him. No one's around you. No one's listening. It's between you and Him.
Mm-hmm.
And you also trust the way that Allah will answer and carry out the affairs.
So this is quite subtle, Sheikh, because we can try to pray with sincerity, and that's very, very important, that we come in humility to the prayer mat and then we continue. Again, if you're in the masjid, you can rush to the front line, but don't elbow your way in, inshallah. And when you're standing there, don't be aware that you're in the front and ha-ha, so-and-so's behind me. That takes away from the sincerity. What are the practical signs, are there, that... the minute you say, I'm being sincere, you're not being sincere, Sheikh.
So the signs that a person is being sincere, not being sincere, are we talking about particularly in du'a, in the context of du'a, or just in general?
Let's take it generally.
So sincerity is that you seek the pleasure of Allah, right? And one sign of insincerity, probably the most major sign of insincerity, is that you're only motivated to do good when someone other than Allah is watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's a very dangerous state to be in, that your motivation doesn't lie to do things when you're only being watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's something that we can practically change. And the way that we change that is that we make the sight of Allah more beloved to us than the sight of people. How do we do that? We learn to do things privately, some good deeds privately, so that when we do them privately, we express our desire to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He be pleased with us, that we show that we are only doing things for His pleasure. And essentially what happens, what you want to happen, is that you want the sight of Allah to become more beloved to you than the sight of the people.
Mm.
So you want to taste the sweetness of doing things solely for the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that even when you're doing things outside of solely the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah is watching and others are watching you, your primary audience is still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're still doing things for the sake of Allah because the sight of Allah has become far more precious to you than the sight of the people.
MashaAllah. It's a good time to take a break. We are visited today by Sheikh Omar Suleiman, who's sharing his gems of knowledge, and we'll be right back after this.
Its ground is of sweet musk and of saffron set, and its roof is the Arsh, the throne of your Lord, clearer manifest. Its rocks are jewels, polished in finesse, and its buildings are from silver and gold bricks compressed. Its fruits are sweeter than honey every time you try to digest. Every single bite instills your appetite that leaves your senses having to guess, and you're still not impressed. Then the rivers of wine, so sweet and sublime, pure and refreshed. The fruits there so refined, on the table you sit down and dine, your desires sensually prepped. Your thirst is served in silver, gold and goblets gleamed. You're served kafur, ginger and tasneem, that are filled as you select. And you're still not impressed. And if you ask about its shade, it's covered by a horse razor galloping with rage for 100 years, and that's just one tree. And if you ask about its encampments perfectly made, enchanting, they are dazzlingly displayed in lengths, they're in miles up to 60. And its tall buildings filled with rooms on top of them, rooms on top of rooms that reach the highest stars, what a luxury. And the clothes and bedding were to be zoomed, they'll be hemmed with the finest gold and silk loom and costume glistening, shining utterly. If you ask about how your faces will bloom, they'll be like the image of luminous moons, and your age will be at the peak of 33. And you're still not impressed. When you hear the hur singing, your hearts will swoon. Even greater are the voices of the prophets and the angels, whom are nothing to the words of your Lord, who deserves praises abundantly. And you're still not impressed. And if your brides and wives, pure and chaste, stunningly beautiful for you, they've been told to wait as you refrained from all worldly desires. And your worldly wife, the queen of the bride, should be only replaced with greater illumin, enchanting grace, with beauty that never expires. But you're still not impressed. And in your heights of indulgence in the palace you stay, you're thinking already what could be greater than this very single day. You have everything you wanted, even more in array. As you're admiring your properties, your streams and displays, you hear a voice of a caller who calls and conveys. The blessed and majestic has requested a visit, so visit him, he says. As you're bewildered, you're thinking, what wrong did do this slave? But as you complete this array, you humbly say, oh Lord, we're here and we obey. And everyone who has heard the caller meets in the valley without delay, and as your Lord will request his chair to be summoned straight away, and dazzling pulpits will emerge of gems, pearls, golds and light rays. On sheets of fine musk you'll sit and lay, and then when everyone's secure and progressions are underway, you'll hear, oh Ahlul Jannah. You have an appointment with your Lord that he wishes to reward you, the caller will say. What reward you think, at your very own dismay? Hasn't my Lord made our faces bright than the sun's scorching glaze? Hasn't he made our deeds on the scales heavy as a witness in our ways? And aren't we free from the fire and the heat of the hell fiery blaze? Are you still not impressed? And when they're all rattled, confused and completely dazed, the light encompasses the whole of paradise and everything outlays. So they'll look up and behold, and as they gaze, they'll see their Lord, how compelling and majestic is he in everything he portrays. Oh Ahlul Jannah, Salamu Alaikum, peace be upon the majestic says. So the occupants will answer in the best of ways, oh Allah, you are peace, and from you there is peace, O possessor of majesty and honor. In this splendor and grace, your Lord will laugh and embrace and state, O Ahlul Jannah, where are those who used to obey me without ever having seen me? This is the day of increase. O Ahlul Jannah, if I were not pleased with you, I would not have made you inhabitants of my paradise. So ask of me. As the inhabitants pray to their Lord, and as they start to ask and embrace, Ya Rab, they say, O Lord, so we may look at it, let us see your face. And are you still not impressed? As your Lord uncovers his veil with his beauty, and out of sight he unravels his light, which if he willed would have burnt them straight alight. And on that day your Lord, in all of his splendor and might, will talk to each of his slaves regardless of their color, race and height. Did you not remember when you did this on that day, on that very single night? And the slave will say, yes. Will you not forgive me, O Lord of the heavens exalted in all delight? And my Lord will say, you have not reached this position if it wasn't for my forgiveness. So how cooled are the righteous eyes and sight, and how sweet are the ears when they hear him in the afterlife. To him we belong, and to him we will reunite. Are you still not impressed?
You're listening to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Sharing his gems of knowledge with us today is once again Sheikh Umar Sulaiman. Sheikh Sulaiman, if we want to be better people, showing sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do we do that when we're looking for a job, for example? How would we say, I want to make the intention for this to be for the sake of Allah? If we're going to the gym, that's just a physical act, isn't it? We can't make the intention of doing that for God.
Well, sure. I mean, the idea here is that, how do you make that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, why do you want to be strong? Why do you want to be healthy? you want to be healthy so that you can be a more productive member for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you can serve people, so that you can have more strength to worship Allah, so that you can take care of the amana, the trust that He's given to you, then you've turned that into an act of sincerity, into an act for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's also the what's mentioned from one of the famous companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, by the name of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is that he said that I seek the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my sleep the same way that I seek it for my standing up in prayer at night. Because he sleeps with the intention to re-energize himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you're able to take food and drink and all the mundane activities, the seemingly meaningless activities in your life, and make them noble intentions, mm-hmm. then you make those things rewardable. You take them from being merely permissible to making them things that are actually rewardable. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, there are two hadiths. He said, one of them, he said, وَفِي بُدْرِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً, that in one of you being intimate with your spouse, there's a good deed. There's a reward. And the companions were shocked by that. They said, would we even be rewarded for being intimate with our spouses? And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, well, you know, wouldn't you be punished if you were intimate in a haram one, if you committed adultery or fornication? And they said, yes, of course. So he said, so shouldn't Allah reward you when you do things in a permissible way? Mm. So there's the very means of choosing something permissible over something prohibited is rewardable. And finally here, the Prophet, peace be upon him, mentions that if a person, you know, that there's a charity in everything, including the morsel of food that a person puts in the mouth of his or her spouse. So an act of kindness, you can turn it into a good deed if you have the intention to make it something that's for the sake of Allah.
Sheikh, we are approaching the last days of Ramadan, and it would be wonderful to try and save our good deeds from this Ramadan, and not to lose them by a wrong intention or by boastfulness. Can you just, for the last few days, remind us, give us an idea of how we can protect those deeds by really being selfless in our giving?
Absolutely. So one of my favorite hadiths about Ramadan actually sort of summarizes this entire topic. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says that Allah says, that all of the actions of the son of Adam are for him, except for fasting. Fasting is for me, and I reward accordingly. So fasting is exclusively for me, and I reward accordingly. And what that hadith means, what that saying means for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that fasting requires a certain amount of sincerity. In that, if a person, you know, is alone, and they have a chance to break their fast, and they don't break their fast, that means that they're honoring the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them, and they're learning to do things exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the core of the matter. So what would I recommend to everyone? Ramadan has a lot of community, a big community aspect to it, which we should indulge in, inshallah ta'ala. Make sure you have some private moments as well between you and Allah in this month. Make sure that there are some moments where you're sitting alone and you are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your qiyam, particularly in the last 10 nights, mm-hmm. reading Qur'an with some reflection. Make sure you make time for you to have that alone time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in those precious last 10 nights of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. And you will find that that sweetness of worshipping Allah alone hopefully will settle in to a point that even when you worship Allah with the people, you're so zoned in on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you don't feel the sight of the people like you feel the sight of Allah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that foresight to know what is really important. We've been joined today by the excellent Sheikh Sulaiman. Jazakum la khair, and we pray for you and your family. And we ask Allah on this day to strengthen us in carrying out His commands, and to let us taste the sweetness of His remembrance. You've been listening to Heart and Soul. Until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh.